these first few chapters here of Corinthians, I mean, that's ultimately what Paul's getting at as he closes out, the first chapter. He said that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, men are going to glory in something. That's just the nature of us. We're going to glory in something. We're going to, you know, sometimes we might glory in our grandchildren, or we might glory in our accomplishments, or we might glory in all sorts of things. Paul says this, if you're going to glory, and you are, see, every man is going to glory in something. He said, if you're going to glory, let us glory in the Lord. And that's why the Scriptures unfold the work of salvation in the way that it does. It's so that man can't take credit for anything. Now, if you have a thought process that gives you the place to take credit for anything, then you, that's worth taking credit for, let me put it that way, then you have got the wrong line of thought. Because you see, God is the one who brings all these things to pass for His purpose, whether you can understand it or you whether you like it or not. See, that's what men by nature, they want to find a religion that suits them. I mean, that's what men are doing by and large. They're going out here finding a religion that suits them. And that's why in these modern day churches, by and large, that's what they're doing. They're trying to make something where it suits people. You know, where it gets people to like. It's like going in a buffet line and you got all this food and you can just get whatever you want. I mean, they got it all. And so that's the way it is, by and large, is that the religious world is spread out there like a buffet and people can just pick and choose and, well, I like this and I like that and this, that, and the other. And that's fine. I mean, men are going to be religious. They're going to seek out those things. But there's only one place that the people of God are going to find rest, help, and hope, and that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is saying here. And that's why, as we looked last week at verse 30, and we said that, this is the summation of the gospel. If you wanted to put the summation of the gospel in one verse, this right here would be it. And look how he precedes it. That no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Now, what is there in that verse that speaks about something that man did? Is there anything in there? I mean, can you twist it around and turn it? I mean, even the strongest free will preacher on earth can't read that verse right there and come up with something that man has done. Because it's of Him, through Him, and to Him that all glory must come in the matter of the salvation of His people. And so that's why Paul said to, he upbraided them to start with when he said, some of you say I'm of Paul and Apollos, there's contentions and divisions among you because it's a matter of personality differences and one of you is clinging to this one and one of you is clinging to that. He said it's all dung. It doesn't make any difference. Said it doesn't matter who baptized you or anything else. He said, here is the crux of the matter, that no flesh should glory in His presence. There's nothing to glory in anything that we think we know. Now, brethren, you know, there are some things in the Scriptures that we can know, doctrinal truths that we can know. We can know that man, according to what Scripture says, is totally and absolutely depraved. There's not a shred of good in any man. Now, you don't really, if you want to make folks mad, you don't have to go much further than that. If you want to just get people mad at you, just tell them how sorry they really are. And you know, a man will get a belly full of that after a while, because he's all right with you when you just tell him he's you know, no good within him. But don't dwell on it. Because if you go far enough with it, he'll say, oh, but wait. But you see, that's the place that Scripture indicates that man is by nature. There's none good, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. None. Not some. But what about, what did it say? None. And so it is that there is no place to glory. But back to my point. Now, we believe that doctrine to be true. We believe to be found in the Scripture. But we don't glory in the doctrine or glory because we know it. I mean, we can't take pride in it. Oh, brother, we believe in total depravity. Now, some people like to glory in those things. They've got flower. I've got a flower that they go by. And it's the tulip, you know. Total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints. And they'll paste that up on the wall sometime, and they'll glory in it. Brethren, we're not interested in glorying in the doctrine, but we are glorying in the one who reveals these things to us in the Scriptures. We're not going around here trying to prove to somebody something that's in the Scriptures. You can't prove a thing to a man from the Scriptures. You can't do it. I've tried it. I used to think you could do it. You can't prove to a man one thing in the Scriptures. Only the Spirit of God can take a man and show him what the Scripture is and what it means. Now, we hope by the grace of God to be shown what the Scripture means. I know what it says. There's nobody that knows how to read that can't read what it says. But just like Brother Al was pointing out there this morning, you can read that Mizraim was born and who his ancestors are. But you see, you can't understand that God had a purpose for him and that he ordained all of his offspring in that apart from the grace of God manifesting the glory of that truth to you. Now, you might learn it like you would go to school and learn it. But see, you can't glory in it. Except that the Lord give it to you, and then the only glory that there is in it is not knowing that. I mean, we're going to go out of here and glory because we can tell somebody that, and we can tell them how smart we are. Well, look what we know. No. But it's the glory is of the Lord. Look at what the Lord has done. It's wonderful. It's marvelous in our eyes. These things are amazing. And so, he said, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. That's the only place I want to be found glorying. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now, number one, notice what it is that he came declaring to them. And that was the testimony of God. Now, that is the truth that comes from God, that which is about God. See, the preaching of the gospel is not about men. Now, the glorious thing that we see in the Scripture revealed is that Jesus Christ did bleed and die for guilty sinners. And that's a glorious truth. And men do indeed benefit from what He did there. And He did do that in the behalf of sinners and for sinners. But make no mistake about it that the preaching of that message is not for the glory of men, but it is for the glory of God. And we're not preaching the gospel in order to try to get some folks to do something. Now, brethren, we desire for men to believe the gospel. There's joy in heaven over a sinner that repenteth. And if there's joy in heaven over a sinner that repenteth, should there not be joy on earth over the same thing? I mean, would we not delight to see a man embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ and fall down on his face and worship God? I mean, that's a glorious thing. Well, sure we would desire that. But that's not why we preach. See, we're not preaching to try to get people to do something. What we're preaching for is to magnify the glory of His grace in the earth. And He'll cause men to hear that. And it'll be a sweet sound unto their ears. And they'll say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Just like that Ethiopian eunuch as he went on his way rejoicing. Why? Because he came to see something that he never seen before. He saw the revelation of Christ as that one sent from God, as the Redeemer. And he gloried in it. Not simply because of the benefit to him, but he gloried in the one who was sent. Now you see, that's why we preach the gospel. It's so that the one that was sent might be glorified. That's what the Scripture says. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Now, what does that tell us? It tells us that the Christ is the center, the sum and the substance of everything that God would manifest unto men. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Not where we might be saved, or where the opportunity exists for us to be saved. What does it say? Must be saved. I mean, the people of God must be saved. It's something that's got to happen. Because something's predestined to happen doesn't mean it doesn't have to happen. See, because something's predestined to happen, it has to happen. That's a glorious thing if you pause and think about that. Because you see, that's what God has done. And that's what he would magnify. And so, Paul said he came to them declaring unto them the testimony of God. That is, it came from God and it's about God. And the only revelation we have of God is Jesus Christ. I mean, see, Philip, when he stood before the Lord and he said, well, show us the Father and it'll suffice us. And the Lord said, hey, have I been so long with you and you didn't know who I was? What did he say? Isn't this the most clear, to me it's one of the clearer passages of Scripture that we find about who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He said, Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Now what does that tell you? Huh? That tells me that, because he goes on to say, I and my Father are what? One. I mean, that's pretty plain, it seems to me like. He is the Father. In fact, Isaiah said that would be his name, did he not? He shall be called the Everlasting Father. A glorious thing. Now, you know, men try to complicate these things because they can't figure that out. How can he be the Son and the Father? And so they come up with all kinds of doctrines and stuff and call you a heretic if you don't embrace it. Just like they say it. And I believe probably there's no other doctrine in over time that has caused more deaths and persecutions by religious men than the doctrine of the Trinity. There's been plenty of people that's been put to death because they didn't embrace it in the way that somebody else said it was. And yet there's no other doctrine in all the Scripture that's a greater mystery to the human mind and understanding than that. And who among us can delineate it? If you can delineate that in such a way that there just everybody that doesn't think of it just like you do is worthy of death, then you know too much. You think you know too much. But I'll tell you this, there are some things about that we do know, and we do know that we have one God, and we do know what His name is, and we know that He don't have a bunch of names. Now, He has set forth and described His attributes and His purposes through many names, but He has one name. And He said, that's the name, dear brethren, which every tongue shall confess. Now, if you get to wondering, is God... See, what people want to do, people want to make out God to be like they want Him to be. And so they say, well, I think God is Allah. And so he's the one I'm going to serve. And that's fine. I don't have a problem. I mean, people are worship all kinds of God. That's not a problem to me. I mean, they can worship whoever they want to. That's all they know. I mean, that's what they're going to do. But you see, when we come to declare who God is and who He is not, there's no equivocation over what we believe the Scripture says. It doesn't make a difference what people think. It doesn't make a difference what I think. But it does make a difference what God says. And if this book be the Word of God, which I believe it is, then indeed there's one name. It's the only name He has shown to men that He would be known among men by. And it is the name of Jesus, the Master, the King, the Lord, the Everlasting Father. And so it is. I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, in doing what? Declaring the testimony of God. Because the testimony of God is its own witness. See, it doesn't need a bunch of men running around out here explaining it to people. Now, does the Lord use men to send forth the gospel? Of course He does. Scripture plainly says that. But don't ever consider that the Lord needs men to do that. See, there's a difference in God using men to do something and God needing men to do something. Now, today you hear a lot of preachers talking about what God needs from you. He needs your money. God doesn't need your money. Why? Because of His money. The only reason you got any of it is because He gave it to you. So He sure don't need your money. Now, does that mean that God's people ought not to give to the things of God? Well, a man be a fool if he read the Bible and thought that. That's not it. But it's not a matter of need, dear brethren. It's a matter of being wise stewards of those things God has placed within your hands. How will you use them? Consume it upon your lust or to use it to do good? I mean, what is the thing that you're going to do with it if you've got it? And so it is that it doesn't need the enhancement of men. That's why He said, I didn't come to you with the excellency of speech. That is, I didn't go and become trained, although He was a trained man. He said, what did He say about those things? He said, I counted them as dung. He said, I was all of these things. I was trained in the law. I was a Jew of the Jews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But He says, I'll tell you this. He said, I don't count it to be worth one plug nickel. And neither should we. Because He said, I didn't need to come to you with excellency of speech, with the wisdom of men. Because what was he talking about? He's talking about the wisdom of the world and how that the gospel's foolish to them, Did he think he could keep men from thinking the gospel's foolish? No. But he said, I came declaring the truth to you. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now here's how you can always tell if somebody's preaching the truth. If that's what their message is. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Not Jesus Christ and Him crucified, now what are you going to do? But Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You see, that's what Paul said. I didn't come preaching some other message to you. I determined to know not one thing. Now, on one hand, we could say, well, that's not exactly true because he taught a multitude of things, did he not? Well, he did in the sense that he laid out the supporting cast, but the message that Paul preached, you can't come to any place where Paul preached that he preached anything else insofar as what the purpose of God and the glory of God is in the salvation of His people than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There was never any doubt in anything Paul has ever preached that was not the sum total of his message about what salvation is. There's no other name under heaven. This is it. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he says, I didn't come trying to persuade you, trying to build a case that would just sweep you off your feet with wisdom and oratory. Brethren, there's some strong orators in the world today. There is some people who, they're just learned people. They know how to say everything just right and all of those things. And, you know, people like to listen to them, and I like to listen to them too. But at the end of the day, all of that stuff's nothing. It doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Because the only thing that makes any difference is the preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Him alone and nothing else. And so the sad thing is that most of these orators don't know that. They think it's a multitude of things. But it is only one thing. And that's what Paul said he was with. He was determined. He said, I determined. He didn't say, I'm halfway committed to this. He says, I determined. He says, I'm not going to do anything else. Don't care if nobody listens to me. Don't care if nobody agrees with me. Don't care what happens as a result of it. And plenty happened to him, did it not? But he said, I am determined. Determined. Oh, that God would give us a holy determination that we will stand for nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because that's the only thing that's going to make any difference. May the Lord help us and give us a mind that's not interested in man's wisdom. Or our own. Did we figure it out? You know, did we get this doctrine right or that doctrine right? I hope we do have the doctrines right. I believe we need to have the doctrines right. But when all is said and done, is what we are determined to know and do, is it Jesus Christ and Him crucified? Because you see, we believe Jesus Christ was crucified for a people. Now, if we preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, we're not just talking about the fact that He just was crucified, but that He was crucified for His people. And if He's crucified for His people, and we're determined to know nothing else, does that not mean that we are determined with all that's within us to be found in His presence? Now, what can we do about that? Not a thing in the world. But I mean, as far as getting ourselves there. But you see, that's the work of the Spirit of God in His people to cause them to desire that. Every one of God's people want to be found in Christ. I mean, when a man's awakened by the Spirit of God, he wants to be found in Christ. And that's what Paul said, I determined not to know anything else. Don't care about anything else. I've shared this with you before, but I remember listening to a fellow by the name of B.B. Caldwell, and he was asked at the time when the charismatic movement was going real strong and everything, and these young guys that really had a lot of respect for B.B. Caldwell, and they came to him and said, well, Brother Caldwell says, you need to get this blessing here. And he said, will what I believe get me to Christ? And they said, well, sure it will. He said, as far as I want to go. As far as I want to go. Dear brethren, as far as I want to go. I don't want to go further than that. I don't want to shoot on by. I want to be found in Christ. May the Lord help us.